Okay, Rabosai. We're in the middle of Sun Shin Mem. So if Yud Gimel were up, Yud Dalid were up to. So in Sif Yud Dalid, we see another difference between the other Krovim and Aviv V'Imo. I'll call me some Rotzakriya B'Yad, Rotzakriya B'Kli. I'll Av V'Imo B'Yad. That on Av V'Imo, you have to do it by hand, while in other Mason, you could use scissors. Lemaisa, nowadays, and our clothing is made very well, it's very hard to tear your clothing by hand. It's practically impossible to tear most modern clothing by hand without a kli. And the and the minig is to start with scissors or a razor blade or whatever the rabbi has. Usually the rabbi has a little razor blade or something to start with the kli. Just to get started, and then do most of it by hand. Either way, that's the Aruch HaShulchan already quotes that you're allowed to start with a kli even for Aviv V'Imo. So nowadays, theoretically, you can do the whole thing with the kli, but usually what happens is, since we mentioned that the rabbi starts and then the person does most of it, so the rabbi starts with a kli, like with a razor blade, like cuts the top seam, and then the person tears the rest. Agav, I should point out that when I say the rabbi starts, I mean if the avel is a man. It's not snias for the rabbi to cut the clothing of a woman. And therefore, all funerals I've been at, the rabbi starts with the kli, the very beginning for the men. And for the woman, the rabbi has another woman start with the kli, with the razor blade for them, and then they tear the rest. Continuing the Shulchan Aruch, I'll call a mason
balahachlev tok shiva yavim. Why can't someone do it with the kli themselves?
Because we mentioned in the last year that the minag is that someone else starts to be mekayim the shita, that it's more of a humbling experience for someone else to tear your clothing.
You need to have like a distinction between the different levels of avelos between parents and other krovim. Like if you did it a certain way with parents, would you dafka need to do like more or less with regards to krovim? I mean, would you need to have a distinction?
No, you don't need to have a distinction. All these things, you don't necessarily need a distinction. If you
like
do them,
meaning
if you do the other krovim to the level of parents, then it's not necessarily a problem. I'll call a mason balahachlev toch shiva yom machlev ina korea of the imo machlev toch shiva korea kol gadam shu machlev ina machlev olin kamo bepam rishon. On other relatives, if in the middle of Shiva, the Avil switches clothing, he doesn't need to tear the next clothing. But for Av V'Imo, if he switches clothing, he needs to tear the next clothing with all the chomers of the first clothing, meaning the way we paskin, that he has to tear all the layers until he reveals his heart, and he can never properly repair them. In the end, the Rama says, likewise, I'll call a mason yachal ha'chsekro l'chorav toch Shiva v'loba Av V'Imo. On other mason, just like you could change, you could turn your shirt around so it's in the back, but not in Av V'Imo. The Gra here disagrees and says you can never turn your shirt around so the kara is in the back, even for other krovim. Halach l'maisa, just 2 points here. The Taz brings down a kula from Bach that if everyone knows that it's not the original clothing that you wore to the funeral, then even for Av V'Imo, you don't have to tear the new if you switch. However, many Achronim do not hold of that kula. And Lemaisa, it seems to me we don't rely on that kula. Lemaisa, the mainstream minig is that whether for other Krovim or for parents, they usually don't change their clothing for the whole Shiva. Number one, because it's usher to change to clean clothing anyway. And number two, just because they want to wear, it's Kavan Ameis to wear the clothing with the Kera, even though theoretically you want to be Mekel. So the normal practice, they just wear the same clothing for 7 days. But if they would switch, then if it was other Krovin, they would not have to tear. And if it was Aviv V'Imo, then they would have to tear. And Lemaisa, we don't seem to rely on the Bach, and even if it's clothing which everyone knows, I don't know how everyone would know, that is the clothing they switched into, they would still have to tear for Aviv V'Imo. Effie, is that a hint?
Yeah. We said one of the suggestions for a woman tearing Kriya, if she needs to for her parents, is that she would tear the bottom layer and flip it to the back. So that's not a problem of having the tear not in the front?
That's a special kula for tznius. We'll see, there are a few special kulas for tznius. And it's an exception. It's not the normal halacha. Okay.
Is there any significance of the fact that the Torah didn't bring down Kriya Biyad versus Bikli?
That is a good question. I'm not sure. The Beis Yosef didn't really comment on it. I'm not sure. It's because it's strange. Like, you'd think he should have. So, Mastama, there's something, but I'm not sure. Okay, Tesvav. Al kola mesim sholel la'achar shiva u'ma'achar la'achar shloshim yom. For all other kovim, you can unprofessionally repair it after shiva. Again, nowadays, I don't think it's so common. You just throw it out and buy a new piece of clothing because clothing's pretty cheap. But theoretically, you could repair it unprofessionally after shiva, and you could repair it fully. Ma'achem means what they call later on Ichoy Alexandri, to repair it really, really, really well so that it looks like it wasn't torn after shloshim. This actually is a big lundus. There's like a theme throughout this simon. To what extent do we equate, we mentioned this once before, kriya and avelos? Kriya shin mem, avelos, most of the rest of the simonim for the rest of Yordea. They have a lot of halachas in common. The Gemara says in one place, kriya luchud and avelos luchud. Kriya and avelos are different. In what way are they different? In avelos, we always paskin like divrei hamekel. And in kriya, we don't always paskin like the mekel. So in terms of chumra v'kula, in avelos, we always paskin like the more mekel opinion. In kriya, we don't always paskin like the more mekel opinion. We use the normal rules of psak. But that seems to be just a matter of chumra kula. How about in terms of the conceptual basis? Conceptually, are kriya and avelos really the same system? They're one joint system. Just one is a little more chumra than the other? Or no? What it's the Gemara is saying is that kriya luchud avelos luchud, conceptually, they're two different things, which happen to have some similar characteristics, but are two totally different chaluyos. One of the nafkaminas of this is paga b'hem a regel. We know a regel is mevatol shloshim. If Yontif comes after the end of Shiva, it's Mevatel Shloshim. So Mevatel Shloshim for Avelos. Is it also Mevatel Shloshim for the purpose of repairing the Kriya? So that is a big machlokas. The Ramah here says in this parenthesis that the Regel is not Mevatel, the Isser of repairing the torn Beged, because he holds that the Kriya is not connected to Avelos. Not everyone agrees here. The Shach, in Sifkat and Chav Hey, and he assumes that in Sifkat and Chav Dalid, argues with Ramah here, and the Shach says explicitly, says the Shach and Chav Hey, the only difference between Avelos and Kriya is whether we're Mekel all the time or not. But leaning Kol Sharmili in Chilik, otherwise they're the same conceptual structure, the same conceptual idea, just one is a little more Chomer and one is a little more Mekel. So that's a fundamental machlokes. The Shach equates Kriya and Avelos, and therefore says Shloshim is Mevatel, the Isser Ichoy of Kriya. And the Ramah says that Kriya and Avelos are really not so connected. Halacha lemaisa, the poskim follow the Shach here, which might seem to imply that Kriya and Avelos, you know, it's hard to tell. Maybe just Tam, they're a little mekel, or might see like the Orcha Shochan here, for example, and other Achronim follow the Shach, which would seem to imply that they're preferring the Shita that Kriya and Avelos are connected. Eli Weinstein.
Yeah, why is it not like obvious that Kriya is just a chelek of Avelos?
Because,
what else
because it's a good question. Because Kriya seems to be the whole idea of Shaschimim, etc. The whole point of Kriya seems to be what's the best way to put this? One second. The whole point of Kriya seems to be a reaction in the moment to the news. A reaction in the moment. The whole point of Avelos seems to be the sort of long-term gradual reaction to it. So it could be that Kriya, that Kriya and Avelos are really not connected. Kriya is a momentary reaction. Avelos is a thought-out process. And maybe those are, since they're both reaction to the death of a loved one, they're both part of the same conceptual framework, or maybe they're two different types of reactions. Especially since we'll see some people say that Avelos is very centered around tshuva, kriya excluding, not centered around tshuva. Avelos only applies when someone, Avelos only applies when someone dies or the Beis HaMikdash. We'll see kriya applies to other things, like bad things that you see happening. So that's really an open question. So that's an interesting one. Continuing test. Vaval of the emo shola la acher shloshim yom ba'enu ma'achal olam. For of the emo's more chomer, you can't repair it in an unprofessional way till after 30 days, till after shloshim, and you can never repair it fully. Ba'isha shalos atmanik voda, except for a woman. Again, what do we say? The chazal built in, this is in chazal, not just in the Rishonim. Chazal built in certain kulas for tznias. A woman could unprofessionally repair it right away because of tznias. Now, that doesn't mean she always has to. You know, it always depends. Look, if she got a shirt and a sweater and she tore the sweater and she doesn't feel the lack of sneeze to leave the sweater torn, then that's fine. That's what a lot of people do. But when there's any even slight need of sneeze, then she's allowed to unprofessionally repair it right away, like a second later. Usually nowadays, we don't bring our needle and thread and repair it unprofessionally. What they do nowadays is they bring safety pins. A rabbi who goes to funerals should always carry safety pins. And she should safety pin it right away because of tznias, if that would seem appropriate. What we pointed out earlier is that sometimes even that's not a good enough. The kulu we pointed out earlier from the Badei Shulchan, sometimes even that's not good enough. If the woman is in front of the whole crowd and she's tearing her shirt and she only has one layer, or it's for a parent and she has two layers and can't reverse them, then even if she's shalel as the altar, it'll still be a big pritzus. And therefore, what we said was, how do you solve this problem? Even if she safety pins it right away, it's a big pritzus when she tears in front of everyone. So the solution is that she can, if she has two layers, then and she can reverse one layer, tear the bottom layer, revert, go into the bathroom, reverse it, and come out to the top layer. The other option we said, with the Badei Shulchan said, if she can't reverse the bottom layer or she only has one layer and she has to tear in front of everyone, then you can compromise on Sif Yud Gimel, and even for a parent, she could tear in a private place and then safety pin it right away so that everyone won't see her skin revealed. And that was the kula we mentioned earlier, in addition to this kula of Sholeles Le'Alter. When it's usher to sew it up unprofessionally, it's also usher to pin it with a safety pin. He didn't have safety pins, just pins. Some places, doesn't sound like our place, even for other krovim, they don't unprofessionally repair for 30 days, and then you can't even pin it for 30 days. Again, I've never heard of anyone doing sholel or ichay, not because of halacha, just because nowadays, the way economics are, it's usually not worth re-sewing the torn garment. The Tessayin. I'll call Hamason. One second. Hold on. I'll call Hamason. I'll of the emo chayev lachlotz kasev. Okay, this is something we'll see we don't do anymore nowadays. Choletz kasev was they would tear their clothing and then take it down and take their arm out of their clothing and walk bare-shouldered. So on all relatives, if you want to, you can. On avima, you have to, because that was considered respectful. Bolekachlef ne'amita j'kaver, which is only during the funeral procession until burial. Ben odom gadol v'inkvodosh yelech choletz kasev ein tzorech lachlotz. But if it's not mechobed for the important son, then he doesn't have to, which is why we'll see later. Nowadays, it's considered not acceptable in our society for anyone to be choletz kasev, which is why we don't do it anymore. Yod Zayin, let's just run through these because they're not really nogeya, halacha l'maisa nowadays. Nasi, that means the Nasi of, doesn't mean the president of the state of Israel. It means the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Doma l'av l'chalitas kasef, l'krom, v'chutz l'ichoy, is like a parent in terms of chalitas kasef, and you have to tear outside where everyone's looking, and you can never properly repair it. If it's a chacham who died, as soon as they turn back from the funeral, they are allowed to repair it unprofessionally, and they can repair it properly tomorrow, the next day. And what about if they don't go to the funeral? They just heard a chacham died. Again, we don't hear on chacham nowadays anyway, so it's not so lemaisa. Sholo bo bayom, they can, as soon as, right away that day, 2 seconds later, they can unprofessionally repair to ma'achal amachim, they can do ichoy tomorrow. Be'al nasi ma'bravo mufak, sholo lemachim reina ma'achal olam. Okay, nasi and ma'bravo mufak, you sholo the next day and you never do ichoy. Al chacham cholitz mi'amin, be'al ambezim yismol, which shoulder do you bear? Chacham, the right. Av Bezdin, the left, Al Nasim Kanum Khan, the Nasi both, Al Avim Ova Rabba Muvak, Ratsmikan, Ratsmikan, Ratsakolashtam, Avim Rabba Muvak, one, the other, or both. The Eshomer says, Arma, the Akshav Nanazelo, Nogu Lachlots Kasef, Klavachi, Nogu, and Ivna, nowadays we don't do Chalitza's Kasef. Why? Because in our society, it's not acceptable for anyone based on, you know, what's the mores of our, or the accepted standards of our society. Yodches. Al Kola Mason, this even nowadays, that can be together sometimes, even though usually we hear news right away, not always. Al kol ha-meisim lo shomei l'achar shlosh yom eino korea. U'misha ein lo cholef in his dami lo tok shiva korea achar shiva eino korea. Al av v'alim ha-korea v'holchi olam kol begadav. This is two differences in av v'aim and other krovim. One difference is if the guy didn't hear. If he didn't hear for other krovim within 30 days, he tears. After 30, that's called shmua krova, we'll see. After 30 days, called Shmuel Rechoka, he's potter. Someone hears their sister died 30 days ago, they don't have to tear. But on parents, even if they heard their parent died 20 years ago, they have to tear. Second kula is, not if they didn't hear, but if they did hear but didn't do kriya. If they heard but didn't do kriya, then for other krovim, you have 7 days to do the mitzvah of kriya. Once shiva ends, then it's too late to do the mitzvah of kriya if they already heard. Like after 7 days when they heard, it is too late. For of the emo, even if they didn't tear, they're still chayiv in kriya forever, all their clothing with all the normal halachos. So notice, for other krovim, there's a difference. If you didn't hear, then you have 30 days. If you did hear, you have 7 days from when you heard. But of the emo is forever. By the way, the shach just bothered. What's the case of other krovim where you didn't tear and after 6 days you're still chayiv and after 7 days you're putter? How could a yid not tear? So he comes up with all kinds of examples, like he doesn't own a shirt, he's wearing someone else's shirt, or he only has an undershirt, or a shirt is all ripped already. Theoretically, he could also just say that he didn't know the halach of tearing. Okay, doesn't really matter what the case is. Yud tes. Just like a keresh einamis acher, right? Like, for example, on a parent, or for that matter, on another relative within 30 days. Just like you're not allowed to fully repair it, you're not even allowed to turn the bagot upside down, not that so shayach to our modern day begadim, and put it on the bottom, then repair it. Like you might think, once you turn it upside down, it's on the bottom. Now it doesn't matter, you're allowed to repair it. No, you're never allowed to repair it. There's a big deal in the poskim, whether you're allowed to cut out just a square where the kriya was and replace that square. Like not to repair the kera, but just to replace that panel of the garment. That is a big machlokas here. The Taz here says it's mutter after 12 months to replace that whole panel, and the Pesachei Tshuvas have cut and test. Quotes Achronim who argue with him. There's many, many Achronim. Lekan, Ulekan. Halacha Lemaisa, the Orachash, the Halacha Lemaisa. Most Achronim were probably making like the Taz. That's the Orachash Shulchan and the Chachmas Adam and others. So most Achronim are making like the Taz that after 12 months it's mutter to replace the whole panel. But again, I don't know how economical that is nowadays. Unless it would be very, very fancy clothing that we've never heard of. Okay, continuing, he says, "Avafilo keach oso asur lachoso." Even if you sell the garment to someone else, he's not allowed to properly repair this tear. Therefore, you have to tell the guy, look, this tear is from Avilos, and you're never allowed to repair it. And if you just buy torn clothing from someone, you're not allowed to repair it unless you check to make sure it wasn't a kind of thing that's usher to repair. And you're not even allowed to sell to a guy because he might sell it back to a Jew who will repair it. Okay, again, these things don't come up a lot in modern day shilas. Chaf. Hakorea mitoch ha-melel mitoch ha-shelel mitoch ha-likud mitoch ha-sulamos lo yatsa. Okay, the Taz goes through with these all, what exactly what all these mean. It's enough for our purpose to say these all mean you're tearing someplace where it's sewn, but it's not sewn perfectly well. If you tear from someplace where it's sewn and it's not sewn 100%, like it looks like a seam or it looks like an unprofessional seam, then you're not yotze. You have to tear the actual fabric. But basically, the question is, are you allowed to tear on a seam? Can you be yotze kriya tearing on a seam? So if the seam is unprofessionally sewed, no. But if it is professionally sewed, like they used to do in Alexandria in the days of Chazal, because Alexandria in the days of Chazal, if you remember, Maseches Yoma, many other places in Shas, was the place where they had the most skilled craftsmen in the Middle East, apparently. So if you tear from Ichoy Alexandria, then that counts as the fabric itself, and you are yotze. What exactly is Ichoy Alexandria is a big machlokes rishonim, and it's not always clear what the Rishonim hold. The Mechaber says, Ich Alexandri means that if you look at it from the front, it's even, it looks good. You know, like modern day seams and most of our clothing, if you look at it from the top, then it looks pretty smooth. You only notice the seam a little. And on the bottom, the two sides of the seam stick out. This is a bit of a machlokes. If you look in the Shach says no. Ich Alexandri is only when it's a really fancy thing that looks like it's not a seam at all. That looks like it was originally part of the weaving of the fabric. And the Gra says likewise that Ich Alexandri, like the Ramban, is only when it looks like it was originally woven that way, when it doesn't look like a seam at all. So Halach Lamaisa, there seems to be a machlokes, what this Ich Alexandri that you're allowed to tear. The Mechaber says a seam that looks even from the top, then you're allowed to tear. And the Shach and the Gras seem to say, no, only if the seam is like so skillfully woven that it's special super duper that like they don't do in normal tailors nowadays. Basically, I think the Shach is saying what normal tailors do nowadays. They sew things nicely so that from the top, it looks like one piece, you know, it looks more or less like one piece. And the Shach and the Gras are saying, no, very fancy things that only special tailors do that make it look like it was originally woven together as one piece. Okay, halacha lemaisa, it's not so clear how to paskin l'chorah would be machmir, like the Shach and the Gra, that you shouldn't tear from a regular seam. Basically, you should never tear on the seam, because according to the Mechaber, even regular seams, you should never tear on a seam, because even regular seams, according to the Shach and the Gra, are not Ichoy Alexandri, are merely Shelel and Melel and etc. And therefore, one should never tear on the seam, only tear from the middle of the fabric. To be machmir for the Shach and the Gra. Chaf Aleph. Kara al mace umace lo mace acher. If someone tore on a mace and then another relative died, Rachman al Tzlan. Toch Shiva korea korea acher. La acher Shiva mos al karishon kol shahu. Within Shiva. We see within Shiva, there is some kiyum of keeping it around. So within Shiva, we know within Shiva, even for other relatives that you haven't torn yet, you still have to tear. Within Shiva, for other relatives, even though if you change, you don't have to tear, but there are some Rishonim who say that it's lechachilo, one should keep the torn garment on. So within Shiva, you have to tear a new kriya for the second relative. Let's say someone's Rahman Salad, a brother dies, and their sister dies 5 days later, then they have to tear a new tear. What does it mean to tear a new tear? So the Yenosei Kalim here explained, there are two ways that the Shach and the Taz that tear a new tear. Two things count as a kera acher. Either number one, go sideways and start tearing again, or just keep going downwards a full tefach. If you go another tefach down, that counts as a new kera, or you start again from the top, that counts as a new kera. However, if it's after Shiva, then you no longer need to relate this kera to the kiyum of the first mace. If the brother's sister dies, then the brother dies 8 days later, or even 7 days later, then they could just add a kol shu, because they did a maisa kriya, and now it's a kera that's more than a tefach, because if it was a tefach plus a kol shu, that's at least a tefach, and they can now count it all towards the second mace, because the first Mesa's Chiyuv is over. Meislo Meishlishi Achar Shiva Shalsheni, Mosav Alav Kol Shehu. And if a third mace died after the Shiva of the second, after the Shiva of the second mace, then they can also just add a Kol Shehu. Here the Shach says something strange, which I really don't understand. It sounds very Lumdish, but he quotes the Bach, and I really don't understand it. He says that I thought this case was talking about if there's one tear, he tears a tefach, right? He tears a tefach. 5 days later, another relative dies, he tears a kol shehu. Now, if another relative dies, if it's within shiva of the second relative, of course you need to do again, because that whole tefach is taken up by the second relative. And after shiva, you don't. The Bach, quoted by the Shach, says something really weird. He says that even if the guy tore once and then tore again, if it's within 7 days of the second guy, he can't add to the first tear. I have no idea what the svar of that would be, even though the Shach says it. So I'll leave that bit. Sorry. Continuing, he says, "Vein mosav olichat tiburu." You can keep tearing until you get to the belly button. Below the belly button,
it's probably that he the second tear was within the first tear.
So yeah, that's what I thought.
First tear is like active.
Yeah, but if it's two separate tears, the Bach says it's even if it's one and another one next to it, why would the first tier still be active if the second tier was starting from scratch? That's what I don't understand about the Shach.
I mean, he says even two separate tears.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand. Otherwise, it makes perfect sense. I thought the Mechaber makes perfect sense. It's all within one tier. But he says even two separate tears, and then I really don't understand why. And it's a Tzarech Iyun. I looked in like the Bada Yishochan. He also says he doesn't understand it. Okay. So it continues. You can keep adding until the belly button. Below the belly button doesn't count. Because that's already no longer the top, that's the bottom of your garment. If you got to the belly button, you can go three etzbos. When you want to tear to the side of a tear, it has to be three etzbos away to be considered a new tear. You go three etzbos sideways and start again from the top. Nismali the fun of. So if he tore down to the belly button, this guy must have a lot of relatives. And then he went three etzbos toward the belly button, three etzbos toward the belly button, three etzbos all over. And then the whole front was full. Machzir al-Achor, he turns it backwards, and now tears what used to be the back. Nismali malof chulamata. If it got full on both sides, he turns it upside down and starts from what used to be the bottom. Nismali mikano kan nasi mishen l'chol chen koriya. What if he's torn all possible directions? Again, not so many nowadays. Nowadays, even the poor person who can't afford food can afford another shirt. And the old days when no one could buy another shirt, it's all torn. Then he's now potter, because now he has no shirt to tear anymore. So from now on, he's potter from Kriya. Okay, most people don't have that many relatives and can afford a second shirt. The Chaf Beis. Amr le Meis Avi.
Of having a mason at a certain point, is this when the person hears about it? Or practically, if he, let's say he didn't tear until afterwards.
It depends. Interesting question. It depends when he hears or when he tears. What if he hears within Shiva but tears after Shiva, you're saying? That is a fascinating question. Does it go by when he's chayav or when he does it, right? Because he's chayav when he hears. But what if he doesn't do it till later? That is a fascinating question. It seems to me, I'm not sure, but it seems to me, it seems to me it should depend on when he tears, not when he hears. Although he's chayiv to tear right away, so it shouldn't be a difference, but it seems to me it depends on when he does the actual kriya. That's what it would seem. Okay, Chaf Beis. Amr lemeis aviv v'kara. If someone's parent died, here at father and mother would be the same thing, and he tore, v'achar shiva meis b'no, and after shiva his other relative, son or other relative, died, v'hosif, and he added a kol shehu, so he tore all the way to his heart. Then another relative died, and he added a kol shehu. Mis'acha taktam v'lo elyon, then the bottom kol shehu is for the other relative, the top part is for the father, so he can do ichoy on the bottom part after shloshim, but not on the top part. That's reasonable. Amrulay beis benova karbi achashim meis aviv. If the opposite case, a different relative, like a son died, and he tore tefach, and after Shiva's father died, einu mosif, then you don't even ask, like, which part can you sew up, which part you can't add. If there's first a parent, then another relative, you can add. If it's first another relative, then a parent, you cannot add. He has to start a new kriya because a father and mother cannot be an additional kriya. So for a father and mother, you have to start a new tear all the way from the top. Here, there's a machlok in the Shach and the Bach, which really goes back to the Rishonim. That's quoted in the Shach Sivkatan Lamed. Hey, why do you have to start again for a parent? The Shulchan Aruch in the next if implies it has something to do with the chiyav of lahavdil kamei safa, of tearing the top, tearing the hem on top, starting from the top. So the Bach understands that really fundamentally you can add for a parent. It's just a technical problem. Because since for a different relative, he didn't tear the top and only tore tefach without the top, he can't add for the parent because the top isn't torn. So the Bach understood that fundamentally you can add from another relative to be yotzei kriya for a parent. It's just if you happen to not have torn from the safa, from the edge, then it doesn't work. The Shach and all the poskim reject this Bach based on all the Ramban and others. Shach and all the poskim say no. It's not that just that technically you can't add because you happen to not have started from the top, but if you had started from the top, it would be okay. They say no, it's a fundamental point. For parents, you have to start from the top. Not just you have to have the top torn. You have to start from scratch for a parent. For a parent, you have to start from the top and go all the way down. And therefore, you fundamentally can't add for a parent because for a parent, you have to start from the beginning. So in other words, here's the machlokes, Shach and Bach. Again, it's based primarily on the lashon of the Mechaber in the next seif. The Bach says you could add to another relative for a parent as long as you make sure that that the top was cut. And the Shach says you can never add from another relative to be yotzei for a parent because for a parent, you have to start from the top and go all the way down to the heart. And we paskin like the Shach, that you can't add from another relative to be yotzei a parent, even if the top was cut. Chaf gimel, mishem meisul lo shnei meisim ke'echad, o shabal lo shmur mishtayim ke'echad, if two relatives died at the same time, rachmana l'tzlan, or he heard about two relatives' death at the same time, right? Because it doesn't matter when they died, it matters when he heard. Korea kriya achaz al shem, if they're exactly the same time, then you're yotzei both of them with one kriya, because originally you had in mind both for the kriya. And as this is different, after Shiva, you add a kolshu. Within Shiva, you have to make a new tefach. But at the same time, mamash, you'll see both of them at once. Karav yachakav meisel meis acher. But if he tore and then afterwards he heard or another relative died, toch Shiva, korea karav de'atzma. Within Shiva, he has to tear another tefach kriya, bein ba'osa kara atzma, shmosa bova korea o tefach, o mach shol shavot kriya tefach. Like we said earlier, either add another tefach to that tear, or be marchik sideways three etzbos and korea another tefach. La'achar shiv mosel k'ar rishon kol shu, after shiv yad kol shu. Meis aviv o'imo ve'ech mishar krovav, korea tchil av o'imo ad libo marchik shol etzbos, korea tefach al meis ha'achir. If a parent and another relative died at the same time, interestingly, then we can't be yotzei them both at once. It seems from here that the chi of kriya on a parent and the chi of kriya on other relatives are not just, slightly more chumer version of the same thing, because then you could yotzei both them with the parent. Rather, they're two separate types of kriya. There's a parent kriya and an other relative kriya. And therefore, you can't be yotzei them both with one mindset. You have to tear separately for the parent first, because parents come first, and then go three both sideways and tear for the other dead person, lo aleinu. Meis aviv v'kar v'achar shiva meis echa me'akrova, most of all k'ar rishon v'tach v'masach v'elyon v'masach, that's chazar from Sifka Beis. Meis echa me'akrova v'kara v'acharkach meis aviv v'imo v'im sov shiva v'im achar shiva marchit shol shetzbos v'karea minat sad v'svasa v'eged shaharei tzarech lahavdil kamei safa v'karea t'megil libo. Okay, this is just chazara, what we just said, the Shach and the Bach have the exact same achlokas here they had in the previous. If another relative died, and then no matter when a parent died, you have to go three etzbos sideways and then tear ad shemegalos lipo, because you have to rip the top. Again, the Bach says, that means the top has to be ripped. If you happen to have ripped the top for the other relative, then you can continue for a parent. We pass like the Shach, he means no. For a parent, you have to start from the top and not just continue something. You have to do a full maisa for a parent from top all the way to the heart. And that's how we pass again. Mesu avimo ke'echad lo aleinu korea ke'echal shem. What if someone's both parents died exactly the same time? Then, since they're both the same halachic category of kriyan parent, then the person could just tear once, tell his heart, and be yotzei for both of them. Chaf Dalet. Someone was told his father died, and he tore Kriya, and then they said, no, it's a mistake. It was your son who died. He's Yotze if he found out Tokhde Diber, because Tokhde Diber Kadiber Dami. We know Tokhde Diber, you always have the right in halacha to change your mind, right? Or to cancel or to reevaluate. So he had in mind to tear for his father, but if Tokhde Diber, he changed his mind and he was told it was for his son, then he's Yotze because Tokhde Diber, he's allowed to change who his Kriya was for. But if they don't tell him until after Tokhde Diber, then it doesn't help. Because he tore for his father. And now it's too late to change his chalos. And he's not Yotze. He tore for his father. It was really his son. I mean, that's just examples. Who had done anyone else? Avalim amr lo meis lo meis v'ka savar aviv hu v'kara. But if they didn't tell him, they was just the dvarim shebelev. They told him someone died. And he thought it was his father and tore. V'akar k'nim t'shubu no. Yotze afilo no t'la akhdei divar. And then it turns out it was his son. And he only finds that after tokhdei divar. He's still Yotze. Because he never had in mind, he never said he was doing it only for his father. We say, Yesh Breira, we can retroactively clarify, and we retroactively clarify that it was for his son. You can say retroactively clarify if he said it was for, but if he didn't say it was for, then you could retroactively clarify. That's called Breira. Now, here it gets a little tricky. Because the Shach and in Sivkat Lamed Zayin, and he quotes the Bach as well, says, no, that's ridiculous. This is a misunderstanding. When is he Yotze? When he tore, not thinking any particular relative. So he was told his relative died, and he tore Stam for a relative, quote unquote. Then, whoever it was, he finds out retroactively, we know it was for that relative. But if he thought it was for his father, thinking is as bad as saying in this. This is not like Dini Mamonos, who say Dvarim Shav Levinim Dvarim in Bezdin. This is a matter of being Yotze Mitzvah. In a mitzvah, it's between you and Hashem. He knows what you think, and you know what you think. So the Shach here argues and says that, he argues on the Mechaber, and he says, nope, if you had, everyone agrees, let's review. If someone said father, and it's after Tokhde Diber, everyone agrees you're not Yotze. If no one said anything, and you didn't think anything, everyone agrees you are Yotze. The Machlokas is, what if no one said, but the guy thought a particular relative, and it turned out after Tokhde Diber to be a different relative. The Mechaber says Yotze. The Shach says not Yotze. Earlier in Siman Reish Lamed Dalid, the Taz agrees with the Mechaber that you're Yotze. And the Shach, strangely, also sounds like the Mechaber that you're Yotze, which is a stira in the Shach that all the Achronim are bothered by. And none of them give great answers to. Halach Lamai, so the Bade, I don't know how likely this to come up. The Bade Shulchan is Meka like the Mechaber here. Says, even though it's a machlok, it's a machaber and shach, since the shach and some reish lamed dalet, it contradicts what is a stira to what the shach says here. So you don't know what the shach really held. And the machaber and the taz hold the kula, and kriya is only din derabanan. So the maisa, we would be makel, says the Badei Shulchan here.
What's behind that machlokas?
What? L'chora, what's behind that machlokas seems to be on the level of dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, meaning the guy thought. What's the difference if he thought and he said? So that seems to be the machlokas. So the shach over here in the Bach would say there's no difference in thinking and saying. There's a difference in court of law and dinei mamonos. You can't claim based on what you thought. But in kriya, the kriya dvarim shebelev are dvarim. And the other day, I would say, no. It's a Kaltar Kula rule that Dvarim Shablei Einem Dvarim. It could be it's some deeper lundus in Dvarim Shablei Einem Dvarim. Do we say, the Meiri actually brings us up in Kiddushin, is Dvarim Shablei Einem Dvarim that it's really not Dvarim, or just that you can't hold someone else to what you think in your life? And that might have to do with a lot of other areas of halacha, which we're not going into now, such as, is true machal if you think it and you don't say it? Machlok's Rishonim. Is Lishma and Kodshim Chal, or in Sefer Torah, if you think it, you don't say it, Machlokas Rishonim. Is Hekdish Chal, if you think it, you don't say it, Machlokas Rishonim. All these things the Gemara says are Chal B'Machshava, but it's Machlokas Rishonim, whether it's actually Chal in thought, or whether it means you have to say it, you just don't have to say it to someone else out loud. So it could be a general Machlokas and Kol Tzar Kula, I would think, about the status of Machshava outside of Dinei Mamonos. Do we say Dvarim Shablu Inam Dvarim? Or do we say no when it comes to things that are not business, that are not like interpersonal, and that you don't have to like sue people for and have an understanding between you? Dvarim Shalev are Dvarim. L'chora, that's the Yesod.
Why is it so clear that Kriya needs to have this, like, Lishma element to it?
I mean, how do you know Bichlal that Kriya needs to be for the sake of a certain person? Maybe just as long as you tear, you tear. L'chora, that seems to be a Svara, that Kriya has to be a reaction. Kriya has to be a reaction.
It shouldn't matter.
Action has to be a reaction to this. Okay, still, how do you know a specific thing? That seems to be assumed. Even the Rishonim or Mekel, they're Mekel based on Brera, not because you don't care. So that seems to be an assumption, and it makes sense to us. Someone should have to tear because of the specific thing. Otherwise, you know, they haven't really reacted to this specific person dying. Each person dying is a separate Indian. That's
misguided. Isn't it a din in, like, Kavod HaMeis?
What?
Isn't it, like, partially a din in Kavod HaMeis?
Yeah, in Kavod HaMeis, you would think you need to know who the mace is.
Right, like, you need to know you're being Makabed. Otherwise, right. You're just, like, tearing your shirt, like, who's being Makabed.
Yeah. I think the Yemen's right.
That's assuming Kriya's for Kavod HaMeis. Velas, right. I understand Kavod HaMeis, but is that what Kriya's, or that's my personal reaction? That's
right. It's funny. The Achronim don't actually say that it's for the sake of Kavod HaMeis. They just say this is the halakhically mandated reaction. They don't specifically say Kriya is a din in Kavod HaMeis. They say Kriya is a din in the reaction to bad news such as someone dying. But nonetheless, it does seem to be, you know, it's mistaber that it has something to do with being machshiv, this bad news, which is then, you know, becomes at the very least similar to Kavod HaMeis, or a similar basic idea to Kavod HaMeis. So I accept Binyamin's suggestion. Okay. Chaf Hey. Someone was sick and they fainted, and the guy thought they died and he tore kriya. If they die within tokhtei deeper, then that's mitzurif to the death, and he's yotze. If they die after tokhtei deeper, then he's not yotze because they weren't dead, and he has to tear again. Chav bam. Amr lo meis avi v'kara v'nag tassi mei avelis, v'chakar amr lo meis v'hifsik, v'chazur amr lo v'pamar rishon meis, k'mosha amr rishonim, yotze yidei kriya. Okay, this actually seems pretty pashut. It's really only brought here because it came up as a tangent of some other discussions with the Gaonim, and there were some interesting things discussed here. I think this is really pashut. I can't imagine why anyone would disagree. They told him his father died, he tore kriya, he started sitting a shiva, and they told him, no, it's not true, he's still alive, so he stopped. And then it turned out the father really did die originally. So he was right originally, just because he thought he was wrong, and then realized he was right. He's still yotze, because at the time he tore, he was right, and his father really had died. The Shach points out from the Ramban that he argues on the Ritz Gias about is that not only is he Yotze Kriya, he's even Yotze Avelus, even though he only kept a couple days. Let's say he kept 2 days and then didn't keep 5 days. And then it turns out his father was dead all along. He's still Yotze because the rule is if someone doesn't keep all the days of Shiva, they're still, I wouldn't say Yotze, but if someone doesn't keep all the days of Shiva, then the mitzvah is still over. And they can't make up the days later. That's how we pass. If someone would keep 1 day of Shiva and not the other six, they wouldn't still owe 6 days or 7 days of Shiva. They're Yotze. Meaning, once the Shiva clock starts, it keeps ticking. And if the person does it right, he did it right. If he did it wrong, he did it wrong. He's not chayv to make up the Shiva later. And therefore, the Shach points out, he says, the Ramban says, but not just the Ramban says, we paskin, that he's also Yotze Shiva because of a guy, basically, if someone violates Shiva, then I wouldn't say they're Yotze. Of course they're not Yotze if they violated Shiva. But once Shiva starts, the clock keeps ticking. Even if the guy violates it, the clock still ticks and he doesn't have to make it up later. There's no tashlumin later for breaking Shiva. If someone never heard their relative died, then there's tashlumin for a certain, for 30 days until if they hear the relative died. But if someone heard the relative died and started Shiva, then even if they break six days of it, there's no tashlumin. They did what they did and it's over. Okay, Chaf Zayin. Katan Shemes Lo Meis Mikharin Lo. There's a lot of lumdus in Se'if Chaf Zayin. The Gemara says, if a baby, a little kid, his relative dies, Mikharin Lo Mipnei Ogmas Nefesh. Why do we tear the clothing of a little baby? Not because the little baby's chayv in Kriya. What did the little baby know about Kriya? We tear the beged in order to make everyone else sad, because then everyone else sees Chashon Lo Aleinu. The baby's father dies. And everyone goes to the house and sees or it sees the baby has a torn, has torn clothing, then it'll make them cry even more because they'll see the baby with torn clothing and it'll make them very sad. And therefore, it's not a real din of kriya, but we tear the baby's clothing for ogmas nefesh to make everyone else sad, which is obviously some sort of kiyum of kavod hames. Therefore, the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that we don't have to tear a tefach or libo, etc. You just tear a little because it's not a real mitzvah of kriya. It's just to make people sad. So you just tear enough that people notice. And likewise, there's a bit of a issue about what about the Taz in Sifkatan Tesvav says, what if it's not the funeral? What if they just hear with a what's called a Shmua Krova? They hear within 30 days. He says that you still tear the baby's clothing. And the Pesachei Tshuvah of Katan Yud quotes the Mas Ben Yamin that you don't tear the baby's clothing if he just hears within 30 days. And the Bade Shulchan points out that if you would look inside in all the Makoros they're quoting, you'd see there's no machlokas. It all depends if there's a lot of people around. If there's a lot of people around, then you tear the baby's clothing. And that was the case that the Taz was talking about. If there's not people around, then you don't tear the baby's clothing. And that's the case which the Masas Ben Yamin quoted in the Pesachei Tshuvah of Katan Yud was talking about. So Allah Lamaisa, for a baby, it's only Agmas Nefesh, and there are two Nafgaminas. Nafgamina number one is that Rabbi Kiva Eger, you only have to tear a little, not a tefach. Nafgamina number two is what comes out of the Masas Ben Yamin and Pesachei Tshuvah of Katan Yud, that if it's not at the funeral and there's not a lot of people around, then you don't have to tear because it's not going to make everyone cry. Okay, that is not the most controversial part of our Seif. The most controversial part of our Seif is what's not written in the Shulchan Aruch, but is written, or the Taz says it, but is written in the Ritz Gias. The Ritz Gias, Rav Yitzhak Gias, one of the early Rishonei Sfarad. His sefer, the Ramban sometimes quotes what he has to say about Hilchas Avelas. He's one of the early Rishonei Sfarad. He quotes a lot of Gaonim. So the Ritz Gia says he adds something that is not mefurish in the Gemara. He says this is all talking about a baby who's a katan shelo higia lechinuch. But if it's a baby, a kid shegia lechinuch, then he has to tear with all the halachas of kriya. Because of chinuch, obviously midrabanan, because of chinuch. And it's not found in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't explicitly say anything. He's just very vague. Katan shemesh lomeis mekarin lo. He doesn't say whether there's a difference between a baby and a 10-year-old, or there's no difference between a baby and a 10-year-old. But the Taz quotes from the Ritz Gias that says the Taz here, et cetera, et cetera. Just like he's chayav in chinuch of all the other mitzvos. This becomes very, very controversial. Why? Because later on, much later on, there will see a machlokas between the Rosh and his Rebbe, the Marami Rittenberg, if a katan became bar mitzvah in the middle of Shiva. Does he become chayiv in avelus or not? But what does that imply? That implies that everyone agrees that if he doesn't become bar mitzvah, he's pater from avelus, even if he's 12, right? If he's 12 and if he's 12 years and 11 months and 26 days and he becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shiva, it's a machlokas rishonim whether he's chayiv. The clear diuk is if he's 12 years and 11 months and 22 days, and he doesn't become bar mitzvah in Ol Shiva, he's potter. So here we have a problem. How come the Ritz Gia says that he's chayiv chinuch of kriya, but we were medayik from the Rosh and the Maram that he's not chayiv in chinuch of avelus? So here we want to know chinuch of kriya and of avelus. So what's pshat? So here we have three different approaches to this issue. The Taz himself says that the Kus of Adrisha, he quotes the Drisha, Mikan Rayek Tas, Shakatan Shigilachino, Tsarchlino called Dina Velos Adkan. The Drisha says, we learn from here against that Diuk from the Rush and the Marami Rittenberg, says the Drisha, that just like he's chayav in kriya, he is chayav in avelos. According to this, a kid who's a gila chinuch is chayav in kriya and avelos misham chinuch. The opposite shita is found in the chidah. The chidah has a perish on Shulchan Aruch. yeah, different parts of it. One of them is called Shiurei Bracha. The Chidah in his Shiurei Bracha on the Shulchan Aruch here, if you have a Bar Ilan, it's on the Bar Ilan. So says the Chidah in the Shiurei Bracha on the Shulchan Aruch here. He says, nope. He just disagrees with the Ritz Gias. He says, since we hold these Pater from Avelos, there's no Chinuch for Avelos, there's also no Chinuch for Kriya. There's Agmas Nefesh for Kriya, but there's no Chinuch. Right, he doesn't deny the Gemara of Agmas Nefesh. He just says you don't have to do it Kedasa, Kedina, Tefach, etc., because there's no Chinuch. So they equate Kriya and Avelos. However, Pasha Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch is, well, the Shulchan Aruch really doesn't say much here. I would just say most poskim, just like we saw earlier that we, most poskim, in at least in this respect, differentiate Kriya from Avelos. It might not depend on the general Chakir, the relationship between Kriya and Avelos. It might be a more specific Inyan, or it might, but most poskim say, basically all the other Achronim say, there's a Chiyav of Chinuch in Kriya, but there's no Chiyav Chinuch in Avelos. For example, on our page, that's what the Nekudas HaKesef says. Says in Nekudas HaKesef, Olufiyan Yazdaiti, the Davka B'Kriya Arminan Hachdi. The Akas of Rush, etc. Almud Bodokotam Shitin Sarchlana Gavelos, Bechain Mash Vitor Machabil Kaman, etc. He says, by Kriya there's Chinuch, by Avelos there isn't. That's the opinion of the Shach in the Nekudas HaKesef here. Sorry, one second. The Shach and most Achronim say there's a differentiation between Kriya and Avelos. Okay, Tzvi will ask me, how come the Shach over here differentiates between Kriya and Avelos? But we just learned the Shach when it comes to whether it's whether the regular Vatal Shloshim equates Kriya and Avelos. So, I mean, you can think of the same two possibilities that I can think of. Either he really thinks Kriya and Avelos are one Chalos, there's just some technical reason why there's no Chinuch for Avelos and there is for Kriya. Or he thinks they're two different kaluyos. There's just some technical reason why a regel just makes you forget what happened, and therefore that's equally relevant to all kaluyos that depend on 30 days. Isaac.
Is the Shach saying that there's chinuch by Kriya, but no chinuch by Avelut? Or is he saying that, no, there's just Agus Nefesh by Kriya, and there's no Agus Nefesh by Avelut?
No, I don't think so, because I think that I don't know if I can prove it, but he's going on the Taz. The Taz first quotes the Ritz Gias, who says there's Chinuch for Kriya, and then quotes the Drish, who says from the Ritz Gias we can conclude that there's Chinuch for Avelos. And it sounds like he's only denying the Drish, not the Ritz Gias. So, and that's the way everyone understood the Shach. So I think it's pretty clear that maybe if you really wanted to, you could try, but the Pashup Shah and the Shach is like what I'm saying. Now, what's the svara? Why would there be chinuch for one and not for the other? Is not so clear. It's not so clear why there be chinuch for one and not chinuch for the other. The Dagmer Vava here makes a suggestion, and he says the Dagmer Vava, of the Nodu Yehuda here, he says something very clever. He says, "What's chinuch?" Chinuch is midin v'shinantam lo'anecha, of teaching kids Torah. But if a kid keeps avelos, then he has to not learn Torah, because an avel is usher in Talmud Torah. And therefore, he says, it doesn't make sense to do chinuch in a way that creates an isser Talmud Torah if chinuch is part of Talmud Torah. You don't have to come to that conclusion. It's very clever. He says, kriya is not a steward of Talmud Torah, but avelos is a steward of Talmud Torah. So says the Dagomer Vava, he says, what's the svara? He says the svara is that here there's no bittul Talmud Torah, and here there is bittul of Talmud Torah. There are other possibilities that you could say as well. For example, the Chochmas Adam suggests a different possibility, a much more technical possibility. He says that there's a rule that there's no chinuch in Tsar Haguf. As a kula, for example, anyone know when we are not mechanech kitanim? Don't look at so much contemporary practice. Look at the Gemara. We are not mechanech kitanim as much as we usually do because it's Tsar Haguf.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, really, even nowadays in Yerushalayim, many people are makbid. You're not allowed to fast on Yom Kippur till you bar mitzvah, etc. Right? So it could be Chazal, just as a kula. They didn't want to be goes their physical suffering on Kitana Mishom Chinuch. And then Kriya, we know Kriya is a lot of Agmas Nefesh, but it's not Tsar HaGuf. It doesn't physically make you uncomfortable in any way to tear your clothing. It's purely psychological. As opposed to Avelos, when there's no rechitza, and there's no sicha, and there's no nilas asandal, then those are things that are physically difficult. And Chazal weren't those there, tsar. So that's the answer of the Chochmas Adam. The Chochmas Adam says it's not tsar haguf. And this is tsar haguf, and they weren't those there, tsar haguf, on Kitanim. I saw another interesting answer as well, which is in the Beis Hillel, but it's not, Beis Hillel's on the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not on the page here. I saw another interesting answer from the Beis Hillel, which was based on something we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch a little later, which Yesh, the Rav was into this, Yesh L'ayin, to what extent we're going to adopt this. He wants to say that the Iker Kiyum of Avelus is Tshuva. The Iker Kiyum of Avelus is Tshuva. That's a big chiddush, the Iker Kiyum of Avelus is Tshuva. But there's one part in the Rambam that you could take to imply that. We'll see it later in Hilchos Avelos, although the Rambam certainly does not say it explicitly. I'm not convinced the Rambam said this. But if you said that the Iker Kiyum of Avelos is Tshuva, then he says it makes sense. Avelos, the Iker Kiyum is really just to do Tshuva. And a Katan's not chayv to do Tshuva because doesn't have any Averos. But Kriya is not the Iker Kiyum of Tshuva, is not an Indian of Tshuva, and therefore a Katan can be chayv. Okay, that's based on an assumption that a lot of Achronim love. I never got a chance to ask Rav Lichtstein about it. This strikes me as the kind of thing that Rav Lichtenstein did not love. That like you turn everything into just like doing tshuva instead of actually being sad that someone died. I never was zocheh to ask him about it. But in any case, if you take that approach, you can explain it. But we have other explanations as well. And now we will go on in the Shulchan Aruch.
Send the Dargum Mirav.
What?
Send the Dargum Mirav.
Sorry? What do you need to do?
Are you good?
Right. I'll pee.
Send the Dargum Mirav.
Maybe you should be far enough away that there's no echo. I don't know. What?
Sorry. Just on the Dargum Mirav. Is it so clear that the Chiyuv of Chinuch is Talmud Torah or it's teaching how to do mitzvahs?
It's a good question. The truth is, even if it's teaching how to do mitzvahs, he could say it's not worth teaching him how to do one mitzvah and be mavatal him from learning all the mitzvahs. Even though obviously he'll say you're only mavatal him for 1 week. Obviously, it's hard for us to relate to this Dagum Irvava because, like, you know, our elementary schools always go on vacation for a week or more and the kids stop learning. But I think once upon a time, they were a little more ambitious about this. And, you know, they all went to Zilberman's, as it were. And then they really felt the loss. So it's a chiddush. I'm not saying Dogma Rav is obvious, then everyone would have adopted it. It's a chiddush, but I think it's possible. You can't deny that it's a very nice, clever tie-in. Whether you makabel it as the truth or not, we'll leave as an open question.
Do you need to be magdir? That is the whole idea of chiddush, or just say like Hevel PM Sheltinok or Shelbeis Rabban is incredibly important, and therefore that outweighs the din of chiddush, which is teaching how to do mitzvahs. Like, why do they need to be connected?
I mean, because we take the kid away from learning to teach him how to build a sukkah and shake a lulav and do other things. So, you could say that as well if you want, but you understand why you'd want to make it a little more internal. He doesn't really say terribly much. But even his lashon extend internal. Lo shayach kan chinuch de'mevat lo mitalmud Torah. He makes it sound like something internal. It's not shayach to call it chinuch when you're mevatel mitalmud Torah. So I think I was inspired by the lashon of Dagum Rav. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, continuing to Chaf Ches. Chavches is actually Chavches and Chavches are super lumdish, but a lumdus that we remember from Lulav Hagadol. Chavches Hakareh b'Shabbos al Meisa afi shechilul Shabbos yotzidei kriya. Someone did your kriya on Shabbos. I can imagine this happening. I don't know. Someone was like, you know, Reform. They held the funeral on Saturday. The rabbi told them to tear Kriya because the Reform probably does Kriya but doesn't do Shabbos. And then all of a sudden they become a Baal Tshuva during Shiva and they want to know if they have to tear Kriya again. So the answer is no, because they're still Yotze, even though it was an Avera. But Chavtes, HaKoreh B'chol HaGazel Lo Yotze Kriya, if you steal a shirt and tear it, and you violate the Isser of Gezel, then you're not Yotze. This is an obvious stira. How come mitzvah of Aveira is not Yotze when it comes to Gzela, but is Yotze when it comes to Shabbos? And this is Mefurshin Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi explicitly says both these dinim, right? I bet if we looked in the Ber Hagola, he would say something about Yerushalmi. Yeah, b'shem ha-Ramban meha Yerushalmi. What's the difference? The Yerushalmi says, because mecholak gozel, mecholak gozel hu gufa aveira. In Shabbos, hu avar aveira. Meaning, in Brisker terminology, in the cholak gozel, it was an iser chefza. The chefza is gozel. If there's an iser chefza, if the chefza is an aveira, then that's mitzvah b'av aveira, you're not yotze the mitzvah. In the case of Shabbos, in if chafches, the Chefta was not an Avera, just the Gavra did an Avera. He did an Avera. If it's just an Isser Gavra, then that's not called Mitzvah HaBab Avera. If it's an Isser Chefta, that's called Mitzvah HaBab Avera. This Yerushalmi seems to be a good proof, and it's Paskin, Shulchan Aruch seems to be a good proof that we Paskin, that Mitzvah HaBab Avera is only when it's an Isser Chefta. If you don't want to say Isser Chefta, you could say it's only, theoretically, you could say it's only when that Chefta would always have an Isser to do this. If you want, you could say that way. But either way, somehow we're focusing on the chefta when the chefta is the problem, like in Zela, when obviously the problem in Zela is the chefta. Then it's mitzvah b'avera, and you're not yotze. When the chefta is no problem, like tearing on Shabbos, nothing wrong with the chefta. You just picked the wrong day to do it. Then obviously you're not allowed to mechal Shabbos. But once the guy was ready mechal Shabbos, he was yotze the mitzvah. We don't say mitzvah b'avera. And you notice that all the examples of mitzvah of Aveira and Shas are really Isurei Chefza. If Lamed. Katan shdilokim lan beisha kol lo chadoshav shemeis betok shloshim or afilu b'yom shloshim ein korin olav. There's a rule called a nefel. What's the rule of a nefel? Or lo aleinu, a stillborn baby. That's the literal meaning of nefel, right? A stillborn baby is not considered a person. It's not considered like a person who lived and died. If a baby is stillborn, it's considered a non-person. Not only that, if a baby is born prematurely and dies because he was too premature and he wasn't properly developed, then he's not considered a person. He's considered stillborn. It's not as if he lived and died. It's as if he was never born in the first place. Not only that, and this is all kol torkula, not hilchos avelus yet. Any baby who we're not sure if he was inside for 9 months or not, that's called kol lo chadashav, we're not sure if he's full term or premature, and he died within 30 days, then since his chazak is that he wasn't alive when he was in utero, until he proves that he is alive, he doesn't count as a person. And therefore, any baby who dies within 30 days, and we're not sure if he's full term, we assume he's a nafel, and we treat him as not a person who died, but someone who was never born, was never a real person. That's the halacha in Kol HaTorah Kula. And therefore, that's the halacha here also. If you know the baby was full term, you know a baby was inside for in the womb for 9 full months, and then he happened to die, lo aleinu, everything here, within 30 days, then he's a real person. You have Kriya and Avelos and everything, et cetera, et cetera. But in a more typical case where you don't know exactly how long the baby was in utero and he dies within 30 days, you assume he doesn't have Cheskas Chaim. You assume that he's not a real person and he didn't live and die. He was just never alive in the first place, and therefore there's no Chiyuv Kriya. That's not really controversial. What part here is controversial? Of course, if you know he was inside for 9 months, that's a different story, the Shach points out. What part here is controversial? What about if he dies on the 30th day? Right, like he's born on January 1st. He's born on January 1st and he dies on January 30th. The Gemara is mesupak, whether that counts as a real baby or that counts as a nafel. And the Rishonim assume that it's a suffik. We're not sure what the halacha is. We're not sure how to paskin. We don't have a clear mesorah. If he dies on day 30, do we treat him as a real person with all the chiyuvim? Or do we treat him as a non-person, as a nafel? So what's the machlokes? The machlod, it depends whether we're dealing with a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan. If we're dealing with a din d'oraisa, then you'd be machmir. If we're dealing with a din d'rabbanan, we'd be mekel. And there, here, the Ramban quotes that that it's a machlokes whether kriya is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. On the one hand, the halacha of kriya on someone who dies is found in the Torah. Where is it found in the Torah? Someone tell me where it's found in the Torah that you have to tear your clothing if a relative dies.
Aaron.
Exactly. Hashem says to Aaron and Elazar and Itamar in Parsha Shmini, Rashechem lo tifrou, Vigdechem lo tifromu. You're not allowed to grow long hair and you're not allowed to tear your clothing. Obviously implying that other Avelim do grow long hair and do tear their clothing. And therefore, the Ramban quotes Yesh Omrim. By the way, I promise I would introduce a sefer every time. Why does we keep quoting the Ramban here much more than any other part of Shulchan Aruch? Because, as the Torah says in the beginning, the Torah says, not in the beginning of Hilchos Kriya, I think in the beginning of where we started two Shiurim ago, in Hilchos Bikur Cholim, says the Torah, what does he say? He says that he's basing the Torah basis Hilchos Avelos on the Ramban's book Torah Sa'adam. The Ramban wrote a book Torah Sa'adam, which is, if you'll excuse my bad language, in one word, it's about death. It starts with Bikur Cholim and Refuah and all the things we learned, then Goseis, then gets on to Kriya and Aninos and Avelos and Shimon and Shloshim and this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The last part is, it also deals with Pikuach Nefesh, right? That part of Refuah, right? When is Pikuach Nefesh, Docha things, et cetera. A lot of halachas of Pikuach Nefesh are based on the discussion of the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam. And the very last part of the Ramban Torah Sa'adam, when he starts a job, he finishes it. It's called the Shaar Gemul. Tells you what happens to you after you die. And that's where in the Hashkafa Shia, we learned a lot of Shara Gemul, I think, about Olam Haba and Gehenna and all those other things, etc. Okay, Shara Gemul is the philosophical part. That's not going to be in the Torah in Hilchos Avelos. But all basically what the Torah says is this is the most important book in the Rishonim on Hilchos Avelos. And therefore, he bases himself primarily in other things, like when we learned Isra Vehetra, we learned Nida, we had Torah Sabayis. There's no Torah Sabayis on Hilchos Avelos. Some of the other Rishonim didn't write books on Hilchos Avelos, but the Ramban wrote the book on Hilchos Avelos. So all the conversation really starts from the Ramban. As the Torah says, I'm going to start with the Ramban and then throw in other opinions, and I'm going to go in order of the Ramban, except for a few places. The Ramban's Torah Sa'adim is the main Rishon behind Hilchos Avelos, and that's why they always quote the Ramban so much. If you had to pick where the two main Rishonim in Hilchos Avelos, based on that Torah, you would say the Ramban Torah Sa'adim, and the Rush on the third Perek of Moed Katan, which is where you find Hilchos Avelos, those are the two main Rishonim, the Ramban Torah Sa'adam and the Rush in Moed Katan. And then, of course, he throws in all the Rishonim from wherever he finds them. Though, interestingly, most of the Rishonim he throws in are because they're quoted either in the Ramban, like all its Rizkias is. The Torah in the Beis Yosef didn't go through the Rizkias. They just quoted the Rizkiyases that were quoted by the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam. So the Ramban thought it was very chashuv to quote all the Rizkiyases. So that's the Ramban. That's why we always start with the Ramban. Let's go back to where we were. The Ramban says, Yesh Omrim that Kriya is Doraisa, because it's based on the Pasuk, in which case we'd be Machmer if the baby died Lo Aleinu on day 30. However, the Ramban says, we Paskin, and we see here the Machaber Paskin like the Ramban, we Bevadai Paskin like the Ramban, that Kriya is Dorabanan. Oh, we bring a raya from Aaron HaKohen and Elazar and Itamar in Parsha Shmini. That is an asmachta bi'alma. Pshuta shal mikra is that most people whose relatives died would sociologically be acceptable, accepted for them to tear their clothing. And so Aaron and Elazar and Itamar are not allowed to tear their clothing. But pshuto shel mikra is not that there's a chi of kriya when someone's relative dies. It's just that society tore clothing when someone's relative died, so Aaron HaKohen couldn't. But all the pshuto shel mikra proves is that in society it was common to tear your clothing, not that it's a mitzvah to tear kriya. From where's the mitzvah to tear kriya? Says the Ramban, it's only a takana de rabbanan. So that's a wee pasuk that kriya on a mace is only a takana de rabbanan, and that's why if the baby dies on day 30, which is a case when in Kol Torah Kulu, where Machra and Daraisa is a Mekel and Darabanan, we're Mekel because it is a Darabanan. So that's why Sif Lamed is very important. You know, not because it's going to happen so often that babies die on day 30 from their birth, but because this is the proof that we paskin that Kriya is only Darabanan. I know the Shach said in the very beginning of this Simon, but how do we know the Machaber paskin this way? Because of Sif Lamed. Okay, Sif Lamed Aleph. Ein korin biyantif, afilu biyantif sheni shel golios, afilu krovim shel meis. Kriya is not doche yantif, and that should be obvious to us. A mitzvah say is generally not doche yantif. Certainly, mitzvah say drabban is not doche yantif. Even yantif sheni shel golios, it's not doche, even for the relatives. Why is that a chiddush? Because we have a rule that yantif sheni shel golios is only a takana drabban. Let's say, and they made two exceptions to yantif sheni shel golios. They had some kulas for a chole. And they had kulas for a mace. The halacha is a mace is doche yantif sheni shel golios. Nowadays, it's not so common to take advantage of that. But once upon a time, keep in mind, they didn't used to have refrigerated morgues. I assume nowadays, even without a refrigerated morgue, you have an air conditioner in the house. But once upon a time, they didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have refrigerated morgues. If you left the body out, it was bad news. It was a tremendous bizoyan mace. It would start stinking like rotten flesh. And 2 days of yantiv is a long time. Therefore, since 2 days of yantiv is only dropped, the Chazal made two kulas. Number one, they said, even on yantiv rishon, you can do amir l'akum and tell a goy to bury. Number two, on yantiv sheni, even Jews are allowed to mechal yantiv sheni. They allowed malach on yantiv sheni for the sake of a mace. And the Gemara says, not only to bury the mace, even to put shrouds on the mace, etc. Kavod a mace is doche yantiv sheni. So what's the chiddush? You might have thought that kriya is doche yantiv sheni because it's covered a mace. Kamash malon, it's at the very least not something which is physically done to the mace. Halacha l'maisa, we say only things you physically do to the mace are doche yantiv sheni. For example, you can't drive to a funeral yantiv sheni, even though you're going to show cover to the mace by showing up at the funeral. Let's say you want to pack your car with 8 guys and drive to the funeral yantiv sheni. You're not allowed to. Oh, it's a big covet to have 8 important people come to the funeral. But no. Since it's not being done physically to the body, that's not doche yantiv sheni. Only things physically done to the body, like digging a kever for the body and covering up the kever for the body and putting the body in a coffin and shrouds and all the other things you put, even a flower you put on the body in countries where, and times and places where that was considered a necessary kavod. Those things are all doche, but things that are not done to the actual corpse are not doche yantiv sheni, and therefore kriya is not doche yantiv sheni. Agav, it's interesting. Nowadays, most Jews do not have funerals in Yantiv Sheni, and they assume that now that we have refrigeration, it's not such a big deal, and we don't have to take advantage of the kula that Chazal gave us to bury in Yantiv Sheni. I'm pretty sure that even in Yerushalayim, where they're very makbid to always bury right away, they don't bury Yantiv Sheni in Yerushalayim only happens once a year on Rosh Hashanah, but I'm pretty sure that even Yerushalayim, where they're super makbid to bury right away, they don't bury on Yantiv Sheni. In America, most Jews don't bury in Yantiv Sheni. When the Jews first came to America, and the Shmiras, everything was very weak. Most of the poskim, including Rav Moshe, said we should not bury in Yantiv Sheni because we're afraid that will just weaken the observance, the Chlal. So the Satmars had a funeral about 15, 20 years ago on Yantiv Sheni. I remember it was in the New York Times. It's a big deal. They had a funeral on the holiday. But most Jews in America, most Jews all over the world by now don't bury Yantiv Sheni. But theoretically, you could have a funeral in Yantiv Sheni and even have Jews dig the grave, etc. But Kriya would still be usher because that's not the physical needs of the corpse. Okay. Avol cholamoid. What about cholamoid? So here it's a little tricky. Why is it tricky? The Mechaber is not tricky. The Mechaber quotes what's pretty much mefurish in the Gemara. We tear for everyone according to their halachos. This is bit mefurish in the Gemara. I mean, what's mefurish? You can always find a dachuk way out. But this is a mefurish Gemara in Daf Chaf Dalet. In Moed Katan, of course. Not only is there kriya for relatives, there's also kriya if you're there, or adam kosher, all the things that we don't practice nowadays, but if we did practice nowadays, we would do them all in cholamoid according to the Mechaber. The Ramah quotes, there is a very, very strange shita of the Ravya. Says the Ravya, there's no kriya on cholamoid. The Gemara Moed Katan says that on Chol HaMoed, the Krovim tear, and the Mishnah says the Krovim do Kriya on Chol HaMoed, and the Gemara says, and likewise the Adam Kosher and the Yetzias Hashem, etc., etc. So it's very strange. It's a Mafurish Mishnah, a Mafurish Gemara with no dissenting view that there's Kriya on Chol HaMoed. Nonetheless, the Rav Yaz, the strange Shita, that there's no Kriya on Chol HaMoed. Okay, the Achronim try to figure out what he's going to do with the Mishnah Moed Katan. They say, maybe he thinks this Mishnah isn't talking about Chol HaMoed, it's just talking about regular weekdays. It's a very dachuk thing to say about Mishnah Moed Katan. So I don't know, meaning it's very hard to defend this Rav Yah, but nonetheless, the Rav Yah, this really strange Shita, that there's no Kriya on Chol HaMoed, and says the Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen recorded, he didn't say he recorded, the Minag Ashkenaz in his days, that would be, you know, about a generation before the Ramah, was to make a compromise between the Rav Yah and everyone else in the world. For parents, which the very strong chiyuv, they did kriya on Chol HaMoed. For other relatives, they didn't do kriya on Chol HaMoed. So, v'yesh omrim says the Ramah, denogin she'en l'kro b'Chol HaMoed, rakal of v'imo. V'al sharm yisim kron l'achar moed, that's a trumas session as a compromise for the Rav Yah, even though I don't understand this Rav Yah. No one really understands this Rav Yah. Meaning, no one has a good answer for what the Rav Yah does with the Mishnah and the Gemara. They just have really, really difficult answers. But Lemaisa Minag Ashkenaz in his days was that they only tore for parents. What are the other relatives? They would just wait till after Yontif to tear. Even though Ramah's uncomfortable with this Trumas HaDeshen, right? He says, if that's the Minag, that's the Minag. But if there's no Minag, you should tear for everyone in Chol HaMoed, like it says Mefurish in the Gemara. And here we get into a big machlokas. What's our minhag? Sfardim, there's nothing to talk about. Of course, Sfardim tear kriya on Chol HaMoed. Right? If you have a funeral on Chol HaMoed, the Sfardim tear kriya. What if you have a funeral on Chol HaMoed for Ashkenazim? Do our Ashkenazim have the minhag of the Trumas HaDeshen? Or are we a place without a minhag where we would tear for everyone? So I'm not saying you're a yekas. Yekas follow, you know, what the Trumas HaDeshen said in Germany. And some of they follow Trumas HaDeshen. What are the rest of us called? The rest of us Ashkenazic Jews who are not Yekas, what kind of Jews are we? We are Polish Jews, right? I mean, in time of the Ramah, all Ashkenazic Jews lived in either Germany or Poland. We all come from Polish Jews, meaning if our ancestors came from Poland or Russia, there were no Jews, there were not a lot of Jews in Russia in the days of the Ramah and the Shach and the Taz. It means our ancestors came from Poland, says the Shach here. B'malchus Poland, yesh l'kral kulam. Polish Jews, what we call regular Ashkenazic Jews, okay, the Yekas would call us Eastern Jews, but, you know, the regular Ashkenazi, the Yekas would say they're Ashkenazi, and they're from Ashkenaz, and we're from the East. You know, we're Eastern Ashkenazic, you know, Bimikratov. But what we would say is like the 99% of Ashkenazi Jews, except for the Yekas, are called Polish Jews, Malchus Poland. The Shach says we who are Polish Jews, we care for everyone in Chol HaMoed, like shot in the Gemara. This is a big, big machlokas. What we Polish Jews do. The Mishnah Brura, if you want to look it up, in Hilchas Chol HaMoed, Simen Tafkof Mem Zayin, says the Mishnah Brura in Simen Tafkof Mem Zayin, I'll even take it off the shelf. Says the Mishnah Brura, this is Allah Lemaisa. There are often funerals, and there's funeral in Chol HaMoed as much as any other day statistically. So the Mishnah Brura says in Simen, Kof Kof Mem Zayin Sifkatan Test Zayin, says the Mishnah Brura. Ubnei Ashkenaz, Noagin, etc. Hangnu Ashkenaz Mamish. Only in Ashkenaz Mamish, only the German Jews, the Yekas, keep that Truman's Adeshan. Abo, but Poland, Nagul Kral Kulam, Achronim, Mishnah Berurah, sorry, it's not Tesayin, it's Yud Zayin. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tufkuf Mem Zayin, Yud Zayin, Mishnah Berurah 547, Sifkatan 17, says that we Polish Jews care for all relatives on Chol HaMoed. However, the Gesher HaChaim in the Minhag Eretz Yisrael says that in Eretz Yisrael, the Minhag is like the Trumas HaDesh, and in Ashkenazim only tear for parents. So it seems to me that nowadays, as of 2020, most Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael follow the Trumas HaDesh for some reason, even though they're not German. They follow this Trumas HaDesh and they only tear for parents on Chol HaMoed. Most Ashkenazim Chutz La'aretz, who are from Poland, follow the Shach and the Mishnah Berurah and tear for all relatives on Chol HaMoed. That seems to be the most common minhag nowadays. Whatever everyone says, they have a basis, of course. But Lemaisa Sfardim Pashat tear for everyone on Chol HaMoed. Yekim Pashat only tear for parents on Chol HaMoed. The 95% of Ashkenazic Jews who are called Polish. Most in America, most in Chutz La'aretz tear for all relatives. Most in Israel only tear for parents and tear for the other relatives after Yontif. Okay, but besides that, there are some exceptions. What are the exceptions? Let's mention two. let's mention first, one second, two exceptions. Number one, the exception of the Marshal quoted in the Shach and the Taz, even though it's a machlokes, achronim, the Pesach Tshuva quotes those who argue, but we pass like the Marshal. If there is something called a Shmur Rechoka means someone heard about their parents more than 30 days after they died. So more than 30 days after they died, they hear a Shmur Rechoka. That is, says the Shach and the says the Shach is actually a little later in Sivkatan, Mem Zayin, and the Taz is here in Sivkatan Yud Ches. He says Shmur Rechoka is less chomer than a Shmur Krova. If someone hears about their parents, remember, a Shmur Rechoka, someone hears about another relative after 30 days, they never chayiv in Kriya. Someone hears about a parent after 30 days, they're chayiv. But since it's a lower level chiyav, it can wait for after yontif. So the let's just put this right here. If we have kriya, sorry, bechol ha moed, kriya bechol ha moed. Let's just review for a second. Sfardim, all Krovim, Ashkenaz Mamish, only Avvaim, the rest wait till afterwards, and Poland is a Machlokes, the Shach, the Mishnah Berurah, the Minhag of most places in Chutz La'aretz is all Krovim, and the Gesher HaChayim, and the Minhag of most places in Eretz Yisrael, even Eretz Yisrael, whenever anyone says Minhag of Eretz Yisrael, don't necessarily trust them. Everyone is a different Masorah, what's Minhag of Eretz Yisrael. And Shlomo Zalman didn't think this was Minhag of Eretz Yisrael, but it seems to be that it is. It says only of the aim. But there are exceptions. What are the exceptions? The exceptions are a Shmur Rechoka, you wait till after Yontif. Mela, if it's already been more than 30 days, it's not such a rush, you wait till after Yontif. That's in the Shach and the Taz quoting the Marshal. There's another exception in the Pesachei Tshuva and Rabbi Kiva Eger quoting the Mishloah Melech and others, which is in a case where he was, we don't really have this nowadays, Nikbar B'Yontif. If the mace died and was buried on Yontif, they couldn't tear on Yontif because it's Chilul Yontif. Mela, they're waiting till after the Shas Chimam. They missed the Shas Chimam. The Shas Chimam was on Yontif, and Korea is one of the 39 Avos Malacha. Mela, once they missed the Shas Chimam of Yontif, they might as well wait till after Chol HaMoed as well. these are two cases when you might as well wait. If it's more than 30 days since they died, you might as well wait. Or if you missed the funeral anyway, and it's just not the funeral time anymore, it's just a random day, you might as well wait till after Yontif and Tir then. And the last exception in the opposite direction comes from Seif Lamed Beis. Says the Mechaber Seif Lamed Beis, Shama Beregel Shmua Krova Korea. Someone hears a Shmua Krova within 30 days, they do Kriya on Cholom Oed. Vafilum Achar Regel Tiyah Rechoka. Even if after the regular it will be more than 30 days. So what's the Chiddush here? The Chiddush here, this goes back to the Chakir about the relationship between Kriya and Avelos. If we know, hopefully we know, there's no Avelos on Regel, even Cholom Oed. If someone, we've probably seen this in our own lives, in Shiva calls. If someone dies and he's buried on Yontif, which nowadays we don't do. Someone dies and is buried on Cholom Oed, which nowadays we do. They don't start Shiva till Isru Chag. They start sitting Shiva on Isru Chag. So what if you hear, someone hears their relative died on Cholom Oed, they hear their relative died 29 days ago. And now by the time Yontif ends, it'll be more than 30 days and they won't sit Shiva. Right? It'll be a Shmua Rechoka for another relative. Right? We haven't learned this yet, but for other relatives, there's no Shiva if it's more than 30 days. So someone hears their brother died. By after Yontif, they won't sit Shiva because it'll be more than 30 days. Did they tear Kriya on Cholom Oed? So you might say that since they're not going to sit Shiva, they also don't have to cure Kriya. No, that's not true. Even though they won't sit Shiva, because by the time Yontif ends, it will be more than 30 days, they still tear Kriya, because right now in Cholom Oed, it's less than 30 days. Say the Shach and the Taz and everyone, that in this case of Seif Lamed Beis, even according to Minhag Ashkenaz and Trumas HaDeshen, you would tear in Cholom Oed, because by the time Yontif ends, it'll be too late to tear. And that's exactly what he says. If... you know, right? Shama, Shmua, Krova. That means within 30 days. Al Shar Krovim. The Achar Haregel Tiya Rechoka. What if someone hears a Shmua Krova for a different relative? But by after Yontif, it'll be Rechoka and it'll be too late to tear. Then, Korea, Likuli Alma. Everyone agrees you tear. All Menhagim agree. If it's going to be too late after Yontif, then you tear on Cholom Oed, because otherwise you'll be in Vatal Mitzvah Legamri. So the three cases where everyone agrees. Everyone agrees if it'll be too late after Yontif, you tear on Cholom Oed. Everyone agrees if it's already been more than 30 days, obviously only for a parent, then you wait. And everyone agrees if you miss the funeral, because the funeral was on Yontif, then you might as well wait till after the whole regal. Okay, that's the halachas of Kriyan Cholom Oed. Okay, this halachah l'maisa, and people die in Cholom Oed. And happens all the time. Any questions? Okay, Lamed Gimel. Hopefully, we don't need to know Seif Lamed Gimel. If you had a Havamina otherwise from Seif Lamed Gimel, then please raise your hand, and you're no longer in the smicha program. Someone who has a garment that happened to get torn, and they want to show everyone that, oh, they tore for the cover of this mace, so they find a beggar that was torn anyway in Dugnevas Das and fool everyone into thinking that they tore it for this mace. Gozal Zachayim v'yas ha-mesim. You're stealing from the chayim and mesim. Doesn't mean stealing money, it means stealing kavod. Gnevas das. Gnevas das of the mace, because you make it look like you are, not literally the das of the mace, but gnevas kavod of the mace, you make it look like you're being chavod the mace, and you're really not. And you make it look like you're being chavod the relatives of the mace, and you're really not, and therefore you're just an evil person. Lamed Dalet. Omer lachavero hashilein. Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey. Well, Lamed Dalet, rather, is just an explication of the details of Chav Tes. You're not allowed to steal for Kriya. What if you didn't steal the clothing, but what if it's not stolen clothing? What if it's borrowed clothing and you tear it? That's also stealing. You're not allowed to tear borrowed objects. So therefore, Lamed Dalet, Ha'omer lachavir, ha'shilein ha'chaluka, she'avakris, abashu cholev, ha'holach musol shemes, koro, umachir, masu, ha'chaluka, umshalne, de koro. Basically, if you're wearing a borrowed shirt and you are chayiv in kriya, should you tear or not? Well, that just depends on the umdina. Does the person let you tear? If the person lets you tear, you're chayiv to tear. If the person doesn't let you tear, then it's gzela, then it's usher to tear. So what's the case? If I just if I said, can I borrow this clothing to go visit my father who's sick in the hospital? Then the person understands that you mean the father might die, and he understands that you might want to tear kriya from this clothing, and he's giving you implicit permission to tear kriya. Therefore, you tear kriya, and then you repair it with Ichor Alexandri, and you pay him the difference between what it used to be worth and what it's worth now. Why are you allowed to repair with Ichor Alexandri? So the Rishonim say it's all part of the Umdina. If he lent you the clothing to go visit a dying relative, he implied that he lets you tear it, because it would be embarrassing for you not to tear it. However, he never implied that he lets you tear it forever, because it wouldn't be embarrassing to repair it later when no one's looking, and therefore we assume he only let you tear it temporarily and didn't let you tear it permanently. Therefore, you're allowed to tear it temporarily, but you're not allowed to leave it torn permanently. But if you didn't tell him you were visiting a dying relative, you just borrowed clothing stam, then he wouldn't let you tear it. How do you know he lets you tear it? You just told him you were borrowing stam, and therefore, chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to tear it, because that's the zeila. If you do tear it, you're not even yotzei, to the mitzvah b'avera, as we learned in Se'if Chaf Tes. Agav, from this Se'if, we learn how foolish it is when people do this trick, that they want to go to the Kotel and they don't want to tear Kriya. So number one, that's already foolish, that someone wants to, like, basically sign, you know, a shtar saying, I don't care the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because I couldn't care less about Hashem's Beis HaMikdash. Okay, but even on the more technical level, it's foolish, because what do they do sometimes? What do they do? They say, they give their shirt to their friend and say, can I borrow it back from you? They give it to their friend and borrow it back and do a harama to get out of Kriya at the Kotel. Besides the fact that it's not good to do a harama normally in the first place, but they don't understand the lumdus. They think you're only chayiv in Kriya if you own it. They think Kriya is like tzitzis, where you're only chayiv if you have a cholos bailus. And therefore, when they gave it to the friend and borrowed it back, they're not the Bailam and they're not Chayiv. Meaning, that might work for tzitzis. You should try to avoid Aramas, but if I gave you my garment and borrowed it back from you, I would be Patra from tzitzis. It would work. It would just not be in the spirit of the law. But when it comes to Avelas, it doesn't even work technically. Because we see from here, you're Chayiv in Kriya whether you own the garment or not. The only time you're Patra is if the guy wouldn't let you tear it, it would be Gezel to tear it. Give me a break. It's not Gezel when you pull this trick if you then tear the shirt you borrowed from your friends. He doesn't mind if you tear it. And therefore, when the guy, like, he gave his friend his shirt and borrowed it from him, then he's still chayiv in Kriya, because once the friend doesn't mind, you're chayiv in Kriya whether the shirt belongs to you or not. If I actually borrow my friend's shirt to go to the Kotel, then it depends. If I say, can I borrow the shirt to go to the Kotel, and he knows that I care about the Beis HaMikdash, then he's implying he lets me tear it. If I say, can I borrow the shirt stam, and I didn't tell him I was going to the Kotel, or I'm in an institution where no one cares about the Beis HaMikdash, so he never had a havmina that anyone would care, then tak, I am Patra from Kriya, because it would be Gezel to tear the clothing. Okay, Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav and on are some side points, so we'll run through them quickly, even though they're very fascinating. Lamed Vav. Hashomea birkas Hashem va'afilu birkas akinoi va'afilu amr b'lashon laz havi kikinoi chayav likroa. If someone hears blasphemy and cursing God, chas v'shalom. Even if they use a kinoi for God, and the Rama says laz counts as a kinoi. Like if someone says, you know, chas v'shalom. If someone says, I don't want to say it, then you'll have your kriya, right? If we'll just call God Yossi. If someone says, may Yossi drop dead. If someone says, you know, whatever it is, they curse God, even if they say God instead of the Hebrew name, instead of Yudke Vavke, then whoever hears blasphemy has to tear Kriya. Here, there's an interesting discussion I didn't find in the class Gachrona. The Gemara learns this from the days of Chizkiyahu, when Rav Shakeh, who was the general of the Arameans, Assyrians, I believe, he blasphemed God. He said, look, we got you trapped. Your God can't save you. Who is your God? Your God is a nobody, etc. And they tore Kriya. So it's an interesting discussion. I saw the Badi Ashulchan in his Be'urim discussed it here. I didn't find in the classical Achronim. Is it only Davka blasphemy when someone mamash does a halos of cursing God? Cursing would have to mean that you wish something bad on someone, right? If I say, I hope you drop dead, that's cursing you. Right? If I say, may God strike you dead, that's cursing you b'shem Hashem, and I'm chayiv malchus. Right? So likewise, blasphemy. If I say, you know, I hope God drops dead, that's blasphemy. And if I say, may Yossi kill Yossi, That's the blasphemy or chayav skila for. But what if you just hear what we call blasphemy in the vernacular? Not technically cursing God, but you just hear people saying blasphemous things. So you chayav to tear kriya. We all know there are various legends going, you know, over who tore kriya when some professor in YU said something blasphemous, etc. B'chule. So it's interesting. The Badei HaShulchan says on the one hand, it says here only Birkas Hashem, only cursing God, not Stam Divrei Chira Fegiduf. On the other hand, it's learned from the case of Sancheirev. It's learned from the case of Sancheirev and Chizkiyahu, where it was just like Stam blasphemous things Chira Fegiduf. On the other hand, that's only Nasmachta. So he's a little Mesupak, whether you're Chayv to Dir Kriya, if you hear anyone Mechar from Megadev against Hashem, or only a literal cursing of God, which is much less common. In the end, he concludes that the Poskim only talk about literally cursing God, and he thinks you're only Chayv if someone literally curses God. But it's still an open question. Halacha l'maisa, I think the mainstream minhag is, like he concludes, only if someone literally curses God, which is not so common nowadays. But definitely there is room for the shita that if someone says anything which is chira v'gidof against Hashem, which you have to define very carefully and it's very subjective perhaps, and that's part of the problem, then you would have to dear kriya. So halacha l'maisa, if you hear legends about how someone stood up and tur kriya when someone said something chiradik, they were relying on one interpretation of this Shulchan Aruch that applies to any chira v'gidof. But the mainstream minhag is that we take the Shulchan Aruch literally only when someone actually curses God, which is pretty uncommon nowadays. Okay, chayav likra. In any case, you have to tear kriya when you hear blasphemy. We all know the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin, one second, which about when you chayav someone's chayav skila for blasphemy. You know, how did the Edom testify? And then all the Dayanim have to tear kriya, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Tzvi and then Shai.
The general idea of blasphemy, Yaki Yossi is Yossi. You're using Shem Hashem to curse Hashem? Is that what we're saying?
Yes, the blasphemy chayv skila is yaki yosi is yosi. From the achronim here, it would seem that for to be chayv kriya, that's to give the guy skila. To just violate an isser and to just be chayv kriya, even if he didn't say yaki yosi is yosi, he just said yake kemosh es yosi, or yake zus es yosi, or, you know, sheyosi yamot, then you'd be chayv kriya. The controversial part is, what if it's not anything about, like, actually hurting, quote-unquote, Yossi? What if it's only Stam, you know, things that are Chir Fegiduf, according to our subjective understanding, then that is more controversial in the many goals we make of, for sure. Once someone wishes something bad to happen to Yossi, then that would be Mechayev of you to do Kriya, even if they just use the English word. Shai.
Yeah, I'm sorry if Rebbe addressed this, but when the Ramah says the Yishom Dizman Azem Mumer Dino Ke Ovi Kochavim, doesn't that imply that he thinks it's Dafka when you curse Hashem? Because if it's Stam when you're saying Kfira, then this would never apply, because they're automatically Din of an Ovid Kochavim there.
I'm not sure I understand your question. Let's read that line and then ask me the question again, okay?
Okay,
so let us read on a little. The Achronim, the Rishonim already said that it's impossible to keep this halacha because in their days, the Goyim used to always curse God. And then they would have to tear Kriya every minute. So therefore we say, V'hushish menim Yisrael, V'yesh omer, and divan ezad momer divim chod. That's only if you heard from a Jew. Because if you heard from a guy, then ein l'dover sof, and they weren't gozer in something that is ein l'dover sof. The Ramah says nowadays a Jew convert to Christianity counts like a goy for this purpose because ain't the herself. Meaning the Jews who convert to Christianity are much worse than the Christians. That it's the Jews who are against the Torah who are worse than the goyim. And therefore he says, Maisim chol yom, you have to your putter even in a mummer. This is a machlokas, the Bach disagrees. This might be a matter of lumdus. Is it that a guy doesn't count because he doesn't sort of have a halos, or is it just because it's in the dover self? So the Bach seems to assume, no, there's a difference in halos between a Jew cursed and a guy, but a mummer is still a Jew. And the Shach says, no, it's not a difference in halos. It's just that Ein L'Davar Sof, it's so common that the guy curses, and it's so common the mummer curses, and therefore you're not chayiv for the mummer. You're only chayiv for regular Jew curses, because that's not common, and therefore they're mechayiv you. The Shach also points out that with Shem HaMeyuchad is more chummer. And he says Shem HaMeyuchad means either Aleph Dalad Nun Yud or Yud Kei Vav Kei. With Shem HaMeyuchad, even from a guy, that's not so common, and that's more chummer, and you would have to tear Kriya. Apparently, Shem HaMeyuchad is a higher level of cursing than a kinoi, and since that higher level of cursing was not Ein L'Davar Sof, they were only makel by the regular level of cursing, not by the higher level of cursing of Shem HaMeyuchad. Binyamin, do you have your hand up or down?
Yeah, I'm just not sure why a mummer wouldn't have the chalos of a guy also. Don't we usually...
Usually we say a mummer has the chalos of a guy, the chumra, but not the kula. As a general rule. I know that's a gross oversimplification, but that's the general
rule. Right.
So that wouldn't help us. Okay, just running through. Without getting into all the achronim, even if you just hear the Edom testifying about it, and there's a big machlokas achronim here, only if the Edom say word for word, or even if they just say ploni blasphemed. Okay, Lamaisa, nowadays doesn't happen so much, but the Shach says, even if you just hear them say ploni blaspheme, most achronim, and the Pisklei Tshuva and others, argue and say only if you hear them say word for word. The Edom don't have to tear a second time when they repeat it, because they already were guilty once. Haroah Sefer Torah Shenisraf, if you see a Sefer Torah which was burnt, O Tfilin, or Tfilin, or Afila Megillah Achmin V'im Ksuvim, or even one book of V'im Ksuvim, and the Achronim explained burnt as lav davka means destroyed. If you see the destruction of one of the Kisvei HaKodesh, Koriah Shtei Krios, you have to tear twice. Once for the parchment and once for the words. I assume what this means is not like the parchment and the words. I assume it really means on a deeper level. Once for the physical object and once for the content, for the substance, substantial content on the object. Once for the Divrei Torah and once for the physical object. You have to do a double Kriya. We learned this from the Kriya when Yoyakim burnt the Megillas Eicha, or the Nevuos that Yirmiyahu sent him. But only if it's burnt purposely violently, like the Maisa when Yoyakim burnt the Nevuos of Yirmiyah and they tore Kriya. However, if it happens in an accident, then it's very sad and you might have to do fasting, etc. But the Kriya of Kriya is not for an accident that happens. There was a case in the Gemara where an accident almost happened. There's no Kriya of Kriya. It's only if it's burnt purposely violently to be against religion. Okay, in that way, it's similar to blasphemy. Okay, we won't go through all the details here. Let's just continue. Yurches Haroah or Yehudim Korbanu Yishalayim Beis HaMikdash Chayiv L'Kroah. For Ori Yehuda or Yishalayim or the Beis HaMikdash, you are Chayiv in Kriya. We won't go into those halachas now because they're discussed at more length in the Achronim in Orachayim Simen Tavkov Samach Aleph, like it says right here in the parentheses. I'll just point out that Bizman Hazeh, the modern day poskim are makel that we don't tear nowadays on Ori Yehuda and Yerushalayim, because Ori Yehuda and Yerushalayim are in Jewish hands and not under the control of the Goyim and have been redeemed, as it were. We still tear on the Beis HaMikdash, because even if the Beis HaMikdash should be in Jewish hands, that won't help if the Beis HaMikdash is not built there. Ari Yehuda and Yerushalayim, if the Jews own it and they build buildings, then it's not such a korban anymore. So we don't tear. But the Beis HaMikdash, even if the Jews would own it and kick out all the Arabs, it's still a korban until they build the Beis HaMikdash. Right? In Yerushalayim, you could build houses. You build residential real estate in Yerushalayim and Ari Yehuda and Shalom HaYisrael. You're good. Why do you have to tear Kriya? But in the Beis HaMikdash, until they actually build the Beis HaMikdash again, here of Yomeinu, we still tear Kriya. Lametes kol elo akram rashi lemolan l'shalon l'lakton l'asos k'min sulamos l'machrosu v'ingmas achon l'olam. All these kinds of kriyas for the bad things, you're allowed to unprofessionally repair it the next day, but you're never allowed to repair it properly. I realize I accidentally skipped Sif Lamed Vav. What did it say in Sif Lamed Vav? Koran al Shmuel's Rose, you tear Kriya for bad news. This is learned from David, who tore Kriya when he heard the bad news in the very beginning of Sefer Shmuel Bet. If the most of the Jewish people, meaning if Tzahal, Chas v'Shalom, would go to war against their enemies and lose a big battle, even if only a few people would be killed, if the Jewish, you know, now you have to magder. Maybe not a battle. What's a battle? What's a war? You know, every little battle is not bad news. That's the way of warfare. You win some, you lose some. But here, they really lost the war in the case of David and Mel. So if Chas v'Shalom, Tzahal would lose a war, even if only a few people were killed or captured, since the whole Tzibur lost, then that would be bad news. Chas v'Shalom, lo aleinu, and you would have to tear Kriya, which we hope will not happen. Okay, so much for Hilchas Kriya Simen Shin Mem. Let us at least try to start looking at Simen Shin Mem Aleph. Hilchas Aninos, Misha Meso Mutalafanov, B'Shavas, etc., etc. B'dinei Ha'onein. First, I want to make a point, which is, it's not really a halacha l'maisa point. It's just a good thing to know, which is that we call a person whose relative is dead and not yet buried an onein. That's what the Rishonim call him, that's what the Achronim call him, and that's fine. We don't have to be sticklers more than Rishonim and Achronim. But in Lashon Chazal, in the Lashon of the actual Gemara, that is not called an onein. In the Lashon of the Gemara, that is not called an onein. In the Lashon of the Gemara, there are two different dinim of someone whose relative died. One is called onein, and one is called mishameso mutal lefanav. Onein is a din da'oraisa, that someone whose relative died is usur to eat maaser sheni or kudshim, or to bring karbanos. Right? He's basically usur and kudshim. Maaser sheni is also kind of kudshim, right? Usur and maaser sheni and kudshim. And that lasts even after the burial for the whole day, according to the vast majority of Rishon in the Pshat of the Gemara. So there's one din d'oraisa called Aninos v'achalti chatas hayom ha'itav v'nei Hashem, that there's an isser of kachem and ma'isser sheni for the whole day, even after burial. There's another din, which was probably drabanan, which is found in the third paragraph of Sechas Brachos, called mishameso muta lefana. Someone whose relative died and not yet buried, only until the burial. That is really not called onein in Shas. In Shas, they never call that onein. In Shas, they call that Dindrabana Mishameso Muta Lefanov. There's really two different dinim. Onei means whether the mace is lying in front of him or already buried. There's a din of onein d'oraisa for kachem and maaser sheni. Mishameso Muta Lefanov is a Dindrabana that until the mace is buried, but only until the mace is buried, there's special rules. Nowadays, we call that onein because we don't have kachem and maaser sheni, so it's not so important to keep the distinction. So it's perfectly fine. You don't have to be one of these sticklers who like erases the last 600 years of using words to be true to the Gemara. I just want to point out that in Gemara Lashon, Onein means a different concept from Mishameso Muta Lefanav. They both start at the same time. They start when the relative dies, but they end at different times. Onein lasts all day, and Mishameso Muta Lefanav ends at burial at Kvura. Shai.
Does Mishameso Muta Lefanav only apply if you're in front of the mace? Meaning if I'm not being Osei B'Tzarchei Mace,
That is the $64,000 question, which we will get to, which is what's called mutal lefanav. It seems to only apply if the mace is mutal. It's clear that it only applies the mace is mutal lefanav if in some sense the mace is lying in front of you. In what sense? In an abstract sense. Where do you draw the contours and boundaries of that abstract sense is a big question. Just, I'll give you an example. If the mace is, if someone's relative died and the body is locked up in a jail for 10 years and they're not letting it go, then they're not mishameso mutalafonav because there's nothing to do. If someone's relative died and the person, the live person, is in jail and can't do anything about it, then it's not mishameso mutalafonav. But on the other hand, even if the mace is not really in front of you, if you're shaykh to the mace, it's mishameso mutalafonav, and we'll have to figure out exactly where to draw the line. That is a big, 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 big question. Nowadays, you know, someone just asked me this question, halacha l'maisa, you know, what if the Karov is in Eretz Yisrael and the person died in America, et cetera, is that mesum mutal lefanav? Is it not mesum mutal lefanav? Good question. We'll have to deal with it. But first, let's read the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the first din of the Shulchan Aruch, here we have to differentiate. The first part of the Shulchan Aruch applies only lefanav mamish, like mamish in the room. Mi shemeslo mesu chayiv l'sabalolav, meaning one of the relatives, kodem kvura, ochal b'bayis acher. The first halacha mi shemeslo mutal lefanav applies only mamish in its presence, meaning you can't eat in the presence of the mace. It's usher for the relative to eat in the room with the mace. So what does he have to do? He has to eat in a different house, which means a different room. Engel b'bayis acher ochal b'bayis chavero. If he doesn't have another room, he eats in his friend's house, goes to his friend's house. He doesn't have any friends. Also, mechitza, he has to build a mechitza to separate the room in two and then eat on the other side of the mechitza. Even a mechitza made of a sheet is good enough if you you tie down the if you tie down the bottom of the sheet so that it won't blow in a ruach mitzuyah. What if he has only, I mean, this is a rare case, right? He has no other room, nothing to build a mechitza, but he's hungry. Then he is allowed to turn his back to the mace and eat not facing the mace. Okay, this is the only halacha that depends if you're mamish in front of the mace or not. Binyamin.
Sorry. I assume from that last din that it's not a din in like a halachic mechitza, but it's a din in like looking at the mace. Like you don't use like kudas, like 10th fachim or whatever. If you like you build
no, I think it is a din. Lechavchila, it's a din halachic mechitza. You have to make a mechitza of a sajin that's not, doesn't blow in Baruch Mitzuyah. It has to be halachic mechitza. You're asking, would you use lavud? I think you lavud, could use lavud. I think you could use lavud and kudasik. I think it would only be b'di'evit. If you didn't even have a lavud, then you would turn around.
Uh-huh. I mean, he's on the same kiyum. Turning around is not like the same kiyum, just worse.
Exactly. It's a different, no, it's a different more b'di'evit. So now, okay, you have to figure out what counts as a mechitza, what doesn't, etc. But it seemed to me you could use lavud. That's what I think. I don't see that explicitly. The big machlokas here is a machlokas between the taz and maybe the shach. Who does this first iser apply to? The isser of eating in the presence of the mace. Remember, there's the only isser that depends if you're mamish with the mace or not. The Taz says that it only applies to the relative. A stranger, I can eat in the presence of a mace, only the relatives can't. Why? Because when the relatives who are supposed to be worrying about the mace eat, that's lowing the rush. They're making fun. Ah, I can eat, you can't, and I'm supposed to be taking care of you. When I eat in front of the mace, that's not making fun. Ah, I can eat and the mace can't. Yeah, but like, that's part of life. What are you supposed to do? People eat. So it's only disrespectful if it's a relative who should be focusing on the mace and instead focuses on himself. However, the Shach says that it's usher even on Shabbos to eat in front of the mace, even though you're not supposed to be taking care of the mace. Now, you could have said, okay, that's because on the weekdays you are, but the Achronim, the Pesachim Tshuva, and others say, based on the Shach disagrees with the Taz. The Shach thinks it's usher for anyone to eat in front of the mace because of loig l'rush, because I can eat and he can't. So this seems to be a fundamental machlok, because the Shach says this first Isser applies to anyone, even though that's not what it sounds like in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Taz says, like Shach in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Isser only applies to the relatives. The Shach isn't even so explicit. I might have said it only applies to the relatives on Shabbos, but the Pesachim Tshuvas of Cut and Bays quotes from the Tefillah Moshe, and the Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the same thing. That according to the Shach, it would apply to all people, while according to the Mechaber and the Taz, it would only apply to relatives. Okay, so that's one machlokas, the Isser of eating mamish in front of the mace. According to the Shach, at least the way the Achronim take him, applies to all people. And according to the Shulchan Aruch, who says only Chayv L'Sav L'Hem, and the Taz, it only applies to relatives. Okay, halacha lemaisa, not so clear. The truth is, you know, misvar the shach's not bad. If it's loig the rush, then no one should eat in front of the base. Lechora, there would be room to be machmir here. After all, covered a mace, so the other person just won't eat right in front of the mace. Next isser, uben kach uben afilu biyarcheres. Either way, even if the relative's in a different city, all the other isurim may apply even if you're in a different city. Okay, Shai, what does that mean in terms of mesa and what the fun of? We'll come back to. Eino mesa v'ochel v'eino ochel basar v'eino shose yayin. Second isur is way he eats. He can't recline and eat. He can't eat meat or drink wine. And even though the Shulchan Aruch left it out, and we're not sure why the Shulchan Aruch left it out, Achronim here. The Achronim here, there's something called a Haggah on the margins of the page. If you have mine, I have a Shulchan Aruch HaBahir, HaChadosh. In the Bahir, it's in what's called the Otzer Mefarshim. There's something called a Haggah, which quotes that the Yerushalmi and the Masechah Smacho say, Eino ochel kol tzorcho, v'lo shosu kol tzorcho, you shouldn't eat and drink till you're full. I assume drink till you're full means, I don't know why, probably doesn't mean water. But the Achronim write, even though it's not in the Torah and Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch, since the Mefurish Yerushalmi and Masechah Smachos, the Achronim bring it down also. So there are three restrictions of eating of the Onein. The Onen should not eat meat and drink wine. The Onen should not eat the Heseba. And the Onen should not eat cold sarko. He shouldn't pig out. He should just eat a basic meal. Because after all, he still needs strength. What does it mean, Mesav ve'ochel? What does it mean to do a Seba? Okay, now we're all wondering what it means to do Heseba. Says the Taz here. And the Shach say the same thing. Perish al shulchan wal amita, either a seba on a couch like they did in the old days, or sitting at a table. According to this, an onen should not eat at a table. For some reason, I've always seen onen sit and eat at a table, but it could just be out of ignorance because they don't know this halacha. It would seem that the real halacha is, like it says in the Shach and the Taz, you're straight out that the onen should not sit at the table. Okay, maybe the onen doesn't have to sit on the floor to eat like on Sudan of Sekhes Verav Tishabov. But the onen can eat on a chair, not at the table. And that's an abnormal way of eating, and that's exactly the point. So the onen should eat abnormally, the wrong amount, not the right amount, not the right type of food, not basar v'yayin, and not even sitting in the right place, not at the table. Right? The onen, wherever he is, should not be doing normal life, even in terms of the physical needs of eating, when he has meso muta lepon. Basically, the point is clear. It should be ke'ilu, he doesn't care about eating. You know, he has to eat something. He can't starve. You know, he's got to go bury his dead relative. He needs koach. But it should be ke'ilu. He doesn't really care about eating. That is the second isser of the onen. Okay, the third isser of the onen is what we're most familiar with, but we'll have to come back to. He doesn't make a bracha rishona. He doesn't make a bracha achrona. You don't make a bracha rishona for him to be yotze, and you don't count for the zimun. Even if people are making a bracha on their own, he shouldn't say amen. He's potter for all the mitzvos in the Torah, etc. That a onen is potter for all the mitzvos in the Torah. Okay, there's a lot more details about this, but I think we'll have to come back to this next time. Mirtz Hashem, we will continue next man. We were supposed to finish the simon today. We're a little behind. Hopefully next man, if we're back in Gross, we'll be able to keep up a better pace. And if not, we'll figure out what to do. I think this is the last year of the of this man. So I wish everyone a productive Bein Hazmanim. Hopefully with all the craziness going on around us, we'll be able to accomplish during Bein Hazmanim and have a Chag Kasher Sameach. And for us and all of Klal Yisrael, we shouldn't have to keep any of the halachos that we're learning here at the end of Shulchan Aruch Yordeya. And Hashem Shemim Kabbal Art Tfilos, Benisa Negalu, Benisa Nesidim Ligoyel, and with Shir B'Saros Tovos for us and for all of Am Yisrael.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi.
If anyone has questions,